Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is a Tuesday afternoon. A Monday afternoon. I'm not trying to wish the weeks away here. Mm-hmm. Monday afternoon live on Ryer on YouTube. It is No Sleep Teal. I'm Travis Ryer. He is Evan Ryer, of course. And Evan, there's a tinge of positivity in the Duval air today following the Jacksonville Jaguars 17-17 tie with the New Orleans Saints on Sunday afternoon in NOLA. Yeah, it's a 17-17 tie, but when you think about the frontline players that the Jags ran out there against the Saints, hard not to feel good about that performance, especially when you consider that the Jags, like the Saints, held some notable guys out of that exhibition game.
Yeah, no, we got the kind of offensive performance that we were looking for, at least getting that starting group, the majority of them being on the field, getting a touchdown. You just want to see them get into the end zone, right? So that was nice. And, also I actually thought some of the stuff we saw on defense was pretty encouraging as well. Of course, like you said, Saints held some guys out. Saints offense, not exactly a powerhouse. But certain things we were seeing, especially blitz packages, like when they brought Dewey on that sack, that was nice. Mm-hmm. Trayvon Walker gets the intentional grounding penalty as well. You can basically chalk that up as
third
a sack.
And 30 for the Saints.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's what you like to see. Any time of year, right?
That's the deal is that, obviously Trayvon Walker, Josh Hines Allen, those are the guys that you're thinking about when it comes to, getting after the quarterback. But seeing Dewey come off the edge there, I kind of like that too. I think that's the kind of way you utilize a guy like that. And it paid off. So
it did. And they ran some games with DeJuan Smoot involved. In the pass rush that freed up some guys too. I thought that was interesting. Nothing totally out of the box in terms of creativity, basic type of games, but Smoot continues to flash in some of those situations himself. And yeah, I agree. I think in really all three phases, you saw it again from Cam Little. I mean, drills another one from about 52, 53 that would have been good from 70 again, it looked like. So really good stuff in every phase. Didn't like the turnovers, obviously, from three different quarterbacks, including Trevor. And that turnover was on Trevor on that opening drive. A good start. What I liked offensively, too, Ev, was operationally, it was a smoother ride this week than it was the previous week. You didn't have a penalty to open the game like you did against the Steelers. And we talked about this a little bit before the show. There was obviously a big emphasis on cleaning things up after that Steelers performance. And then also fundamentals, remedial, whatever you want to call it, come to Jesus type of work, it seems like, took place here in Jacksonville last week.
Yeah, considering the performance against the Steelers and then what was coming out of practice in terms of, you know, what coaches were saying, what players were saying of like, yeah, we, this is not necessarily great. You know, we're kind of going back to the basics, to then show up and at least look competent, you know, to look like there's a good understanding of what both the offense and defense are trying to do. That was encouraging for sure. You know, at the end of the day, obviously, you know, just like last week, you can't draw massive conclusions mm-hmm. from, you know, any of that, but you want it to be positive. You want it to be, you know, encouraging. And I think it was.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was interesting. The Jags without Travis Hunter
yeah.
in week two of the preseason. So that created some interest for me in terms of what do the Jags come out in from a personnel perspective. They came out in 12. They came out with two tight ends.
Yep.
And then Parker Washington continues to be a really positive story for this offense.
Yeah.
Gets the start alongside Brian Thomas Jr. Ends up getting into the end zone. Love the touchdown from Parker Washington because he played through contact
yep.
to get into the end zone. When you think of Parker Washington prior to this season, it was yak yards after catch, but it wasn't so much you would think yards after contact. He showed me some toughness in breaking a tackle and then being decisive and getting into the end zone. And, you know, we saw it again from the Jags run game too. Positivity from ETN. Tank Bigsby had a really nice chunk play on a 19-yard reception. So that two back approach looks like it's very much going to be in play. Michelle Tootin too, though, shows yeah. you some power from inside the 10 for the second straight week. A lot of positives again. Once you get past the turnovers, especially the one in the red zone with Trevor having his foot stepped on by Ezra Cleveland. And so, you know, that kind of leads us to that offensive line too. I thought that was interesting. Some shuffling that's been going on and a different group for sure that we saw, not just in terms of performance, but just where guys were lined up with an emphasis on that right side.
Yeah, I mean, I think what, you know, those adjustments really, you saw it like instant improvement, like pretty much every play that the starters were out there. I mean, generally Trevor had a clean pocket, ETN and Bigsby and whoever else was, you know, getting the ball at that point, were able to, you know, have some space to be patient with their run and make a move, you know. That Bigsby catch and run was the exact type of thing that, you know, I think Jaguars fans are really hoping to see, especially, you know, it's funny though, because, you know, we talked all offseason about how ETN is maybe that guy and then Bigsby is the guy that you're handing the ball off. It kind of was, you know, reverse roles a little bit.
Yeah.
But hey, I love that we have two running backs that can both do that. That's a very awesome thing.
It is. And so spreading of the wealth once again with Trevor showing an ability to sort of hang in. He did have one semi spin out and then he stayed in there and actually delivered a pretty good strike, I think, to Brian Thomas Jr. He had an opportunity with BTJ on a look like an over route that, you know, I thought Trevor actually put that ball in a good spot because it was zone coverage and he was protecting BTJ, whether it was intentional or not. And, you know, Brian couldn't come up with the catch there. Ball a little bit low, but that was a ball I thought the placement of it was going to be helpful because, you know, that's one of those where Trevor could have run him into the hospital if he leads him or makes him extend there in the hole.
And we saw Trevor, you know, throw hospital balls in the previous game. So the fact that, you know, the ball placement, he was clean. Trevor was very clean in that game.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, the one or two mistakes, but I mean, that's stuff that you can deal with, you know, falling over, you know, that miscue there, that, you know, that's a very rare thing. That's not a common issue really. So, that was encouraging. I will say with BTJ, you know, there's been a lot of chatter over the past month or two of he hasn't, you know, exactly lit it up. You know, it hasn't necessarily been the most encouraging offseason for him. You know, at this point, are you having concerns about a sophomore slump, or do you think that, you know, it's just sometimes this is just what a offseason preseason looks like for a starting player?
No, because I thought even last year, and I wrote this off more to him being a rookie, you know, he had some struggles especially early on in camp, but so did Trevor. I think maybe Trevor being better in this camp, anyone else that maybe has some struggles, they're magnified, amplified a little bit more. Now we'll see. I think the good thing is you still have a Travis Hunter, and you still have a Parker Washington, right? Yeah. So you're not going to be as dependent on Travis Hunter to be a 1,200, 1,500-yard receiver this year, because you're going to spread the wealth more and you're going to establish a physical run game and you're going to throw it to those backs. So, you know, we talked about this a couple of shows ago, I think. It's going to be hard for someone to put up all pro type numbers, maybe at a multitude of offensive skill spots, because balance, I think, is going to be a real thing for this Jacksonville offense. And so, you know, the offensive line continues, again, for me to be a big part of this. You get McCarry in the lineup yesterday against the Saints. But, you know, it may be that Big Fred Johnson is a guy that's going to prove hard to keep out of this lineup, whether it's right tackle, whether it's left tackle. And he's very much the third tackle at a minimum right now. Yeah. And with the way they want to play offense, with his size and his aggression, he seems to be right up the alley for what they want at that spot.
Well, and, you know, I think especially last year, really the past 2 or 3 years, you know, there's been guys that, you know, are, I guess, serviceable, you know, as in those backup tackle spots. But, you know, Fred Johnson is actually pushing Anton Harrison and Walker Little right now. You know, there's not, you know, kind of this certainty that those are going to be your guys. At least, you know, they're going to start, I would say, you know, week one, you know, beginning of the season. But, you know, if you F around, you're going to find out. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing too. I mean, you know, having, you know, a guy that's actually playing at a high enough level that, you know, he could potentially push for a starting spot. You know, those young dudes, you know, they obviously, we talk about potential with Anton Harrison, and we know that, you know, he has all the talent to be a really, really good player, but we have yet to see, you know, what we think is, you know, the top of his potential. So, no, Fred Johnson is a, I would say, probably the biggest positive or surprise positive on that offensive line.
Yeah, we kind of went in this preseason thinking, well, there would be legit comp at what, one, maybe two spots, but with the way they're willing to shuffle that group in the first 2 weeks of the preseason and give everyone a real shot, it feels like. And you're also thinking ahead, which I like. You're thinking about contingency plans if you have an injury or two once you get into the season. I think they have a good idea already who their 7 or 8 are going to be.
Yeah.
But there could be scenarios where their 8th has to be in their 5. But as much as anything, you still get the sense they're still looking for their 5. And they know that, you know, the center position with Hainsey, that's set. That's their guy. Right. Ezra Cleveland right now looks like he's the guy at left guard. But, you know, with guards, you can kind of move them around. They can play left or right. So even if I'm a guy that has the look of being entrenched through 2 games, I probably wouldn't get too comfortable with that. And I think that's exactly what this new regime wants. They don't want folks to get comfortable in any form or fashion from a positional status perspective to this point. What about the defensive side? I think the Jags came out in their base yesterday, their base 4-3. So it was similar to what we saw last week. Yasser Abdullah on the field at the one linebacker spot to go along with Boye and Devin Lloyd, you know, with Mason Smith. That was some good news last week, right? Being activated from the PUP list. Still no Eric Armstead. So Smith didn't play in the game yesterday, but Tyler Lacy continued in that role with Devon Hamilton at those inside spots. Then you had, of course, Hines Allen and Trayvon, who, as you said, right from the outset, made his presence felt. But I thought it was interesting with Hunter out and the Jags in their base, it was Jerrion Jones at a corner, and it was Jordan Lewis at the other corner. When the Jags went to their nickel package, it was Christian Braswell that came on at a corner. Lewis went inside to the slot And then you had Jarian playing the other corner position. So kind of gave you a glimpse into where they're at in terms of how their pecking order is working at that corner and that slot corner when they didn't have Hunter available on Sunday.
Yeah. And I mean, really, you know, obviously we know Travis Hunter is going to, you know, get snaps. He's going to get opportunities on that defense, but that's probably really more of your, what the guys you're going to be paying a lot of attention to, obviously other than Tyson Campbell. So I was overall encouraged by that. I mean, the thing about Jordan Lewis, right, is that, yeah, he's, you know, known for being, you know, the nickel guy, you know, he's, you know, the best nickel corner in the NFL, some, or at least he has been in the past, but clearly not an issue to go outside. It's not like it's, you know, hyper fixated on that one spot. And I thought, you know, Jarian Jones was, had a pretty quiet, clean game again, you know, kind of thing you're looking for. You know, of course we would love to see some flashes of like big play making ability from that secondary group, but overall they, you know, there weren't a lot of issues. And, you know, a 3-point first half for the first and second team, that's pretty dang good. You like that.
Yeah, once you got into the 2/3s and 4s, boy.
Yeah,
you had some issues there. Spencer Rattler looked like Drew Brees reincarnate or something, you know, once he got in there against that group. So you would like to see a little stronger play from your reserves. But if we're being honest, you got a lot of cuts out there both ways on Sunday. Yeah. And yeah, no Tyson Campbell. So it was a different look at the corner spots a little bit to go along with the nickel package. Looked like when the Jags went dime, we saw Wingard actually move up to the dime back position there alongside, that was Devin Lloyd, I believe, that stayed out there in the dime. And then you had Darnell Savage to go along with Eric Murray, I think, at the safeties and, you know, kind of what we talked about at corner. If, you know, if there's one thing, I think you kind of touched on this, you want to go ahead and reestablish or establish for the first time in a long time or too long, kind of a culture of taking the football away.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, the Jags did produce an interception, but it was with, you know, so late and with some guys that, you know, you're not expecting to make your football team. You want to see that. And also turnover margin was just horrific for the Jags a year ago. That's got to change a good bit as well. So, you know, we're going to get closer to that final roster, or at least that season opening roster. Do you have a guy or two maybe that you went into this camp thinking, yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on this guy. Is it still a guy like Joshua Cephas? Is Joshua Cephas going to make this roster when it's all said and done? Yeah. Or, I mean, is it going to be an Austin Trammell at wide receiver?
That's kind of, you kind of jumped me, the first name I was going to say.
Okay. All right.
No, but no, like, I mean that in a good way. Like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I would say, of the entire roster, kind of the one spot where I'm like, huh, like this is going to be interesting for that
wide receiver depth.
Yeah, that fifth receiver spot. I mean, Cephas, I think, is kind of still the one that I feel like has the most upside, you know, the stuff that we've seen from him over the past year and change, you know, is been very encouraging. But Trammell's had a very nice offseason, very nice preseason so far. So it's that's like a serious question right there.
When they went three wides for the first time yesterday, it was Trammell that came on.
Yeah.
In the three wides. I mean, they were base 12 personnel. When they went to 11, that was Trammell. Now, you know, because you didn't have Travis Hunter, maybe that changed kind of your rotation a little bit. Maybe, you know, if that's not what it is, maybe Cephas. But what it goes back to for me too, though, is what Cephas going to give me in special teams if I keep him. If it comes down to it, it may not come down to it. Maybe you can keep both. But if that was an either or situation, I do think that would be especially fascinating. And also, I think corner depth's going to be fascinating because they've got talented guys like Trey Prince, you know, that they drafted just last year. And you look at Prince and you think, this is an NFL corner. He looks like an NFL corner. I think from the outset, though, of his Jaguars career, there have been issues with kind of getting him to be a pro on a consistent basis. So, Braswell, Prince, You've got some guys you're gonna have to make some tough calls on, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, in that secondary group as well, you think about like Daniel Thomas. I mean, that's kind of a guy that's, you know, at the fifth or sixth spot as things stand. I mean, I will say though, that is also a spot that the Jaguars could do, I guess, something a little surprising, just by, you know, if for some reason they're like, you know what, Antonio Johnson, just, you know, because he's also kind of that one of those weak links in that group, you know, that's the kind of guy that even in the first round of cuts, just because if, you know, with veterans and things like that, if they know that, you know, this guy's not going to make the squad or they're planning on building without him, you know, that could be an earlier cut rather than, you know, the actual final cuts to the 53-man roster. No, I mean, there's really spots all over the board. Defensive line, you know, I mean, you know, you bring in Kalen Saunders, that, you know, opens up a whole new dynamic of, you know, wait, are they bringing in Saunders because they just already know that they want him as a 53-man guy? And who's out if Kalen Saunders is in?
I was going to ask you that trade, when you heard about it here in the last 12 to 15 hours, how did it strike you in regards to, well, this is what the Jaguars think about their current offensive line depth, maybe between guard and center? And also, though, what does it say about the current situation along the defensive line? Did it further concerns maybe you had about Eric Armstead and what his true availability is going to be? What does it say about a guy like maybe Jordan Jefferson, you know, that they drafted a year ago as a fourth round pick? So how did that strike you initially when you got word of that, that deal?
I was definitely very positive when I heard that news. You know, Kalen Saunders is obviously not like a household name, not a star, but, you know, a veteran with two Super Bowls to his name. And, you know, a dude who, you know, it was one play, but picked off Patrick Mahomes.
Picked off Pat Mahomes.
Come on. I mean, that's sick, you know. But he, you know, has gotten a lot more experience than he had in like his first few seasons, the last 2 years with the Saints. But, you know, he's still 29. You know, there's still some time for him. You know, he's not a spring chicken, but he's not old. I think what that says about the both groups that we're talking about, I think with the defensive line, I think it concerns me more, not necessarily in overall ability, but in terms of availability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have to ask questions about that. Jordan Jefferson, that is a like that, you know, the alert is kind of flashing there. You know, if I'm in his spot, I'm thinking like, oh, well, where do I fit into this? You know,
well, and what about Javon Foster too? I mean, those were two fourth round picks a year ago, and now you don't see Javon Foster until late on Sunday. And
it also shows that they're feeling very confident about Jonah Monheim. You know,
they do.
If
you like that pick, that was your guy going into the draft. You were.
I was a big fan of it. I thought that was great value in the fifth round. You know, they obviously, you know, Hainsey has looked solid. He looks, you know, really assured. And then having Monheim behind him, it's like, that's the thing though, is your starting center goes down. You got to feel really good about the guy behind that.
Yeah.
And obviously if it's a fifth round rookie and they're willing to roll with them as their backup going in, that's a big deal.
I think it's a good move probably I think Fortner's chances of making the Saints
are far higher.
And I think maybe that's kind of what this deal was based on. It's just going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out in the end.
Yeah.
You know, who sticks on rosters, who's let go, and, you know, those type of things. So it is Luke Fortner, the center, dealt to the Saints for Kalen Saunders. And, again, you're excited. Mason Smith apparently on the road back here. For the start of the season. So you need that, because that's still Devon Hamilton. You feel good about solid player, but you want some more difference makers on that inside, and that's where they need it right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Saunders, at the end of the day, you know, when you go look at what he has been able to do, you know, in his like six seasons in the NFL, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, 32 starts, 6.5 sacks, You know, I mean, that's not bad. That's for a DT, for a guy who's 325 pounds, you know, like you like that. He also has a really good knack for getting his hands up, had three pass swats last year. This is a dude that, you know, even if he's obviously only playing, you know, like 10 to 15 snaps a game at best, you still feel pretty good about him just at least being able to do something. So I think it's a really shrewd move. I mean, it's two players on two teams that were looking at a pretty tough, you know, road to the 53-man roster and are now going in the spots where they ought to have a legit chance. I think for me personally, I think the Jags wouldn't move for Saunders unless they planned on having him be on the 53-man roster. You just now, you know, now it's a question of, okay, well, who's not joining the group?
Yeah. Who's not sticking around?
Is there a more, you know, Jordan Jefferson is kind of, that's, you know, a name we've mentioned. But is there anybody else that, you know, could be a surprising cut? Or maybe the Jaguars kind of go for something a little different and actually load up on DTs, you know, an extra DT spot. That's something that's a bit of a question mark. Not a lot of teams often go for that, but, you know, the Jaguars have had such significant issues, especially last year, with quality of defensive line play, that I don't blame them for necessarily ensuring that they have another body that they can feel decent about.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it on the official depth chart for the Jaguars that they have issued. Jordan Jefferson's listed as the backup to Devon Hamilton. But in two preseason games to this point, it's been Tyler Lacy that has worked alongside Devon Hamilton there at the one. And they're different type of players. I get that.
For sure.
I think one's more of a shade, true nose tackle type like Hamilton, like Jefferson. Lacy's more of that three technique like a Mason Smith and Eric Armstead. So you have to take that into account as well. So the Jags make the rare preseason trade. And you see some in-season moves from time to time, but preseason maybe not so much. Anything else, Ev, before we get out of here? I had something else, actually. I don't know if you saw this today. Bill Barnwell of ESPN has the Jacksonville Jaguars among his five teams most likely to improve in 2025. And my answer to that is they damn well better.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of nothing.
4-13 for a team that a lot of people think is still in its playoff window. Yeah, they better improve.
I mean, that's it'd be one thing if the article or anything like that was titled, you know, playoff dark horse or whatever. Right. But I mean, they could improve by winning five games. So that's a marked improvement. 25% more wins if you win five games this year. That's big numbers. Tony Khan can break it down however he wants to, but. I wanted to point out the real winner of Sunday's game, which I don't know if you saw this video, but a Jacksonville citizen rolled up to Nola and threw hands.
I saw the smoke. Yeah,
And won. He won.
Literally knocked my man's pants off.
He beat his ass so bad he knocked his pants off.
I don't know if there were any winners in that actually, but yeah, I mean, my guy in the Travis Hunter jersey definitely won on points.
Could have gone for maybe a size up on the Travis Hunter jersey, I will say as well. Not that I'm in any place to talk, but if somebody's worn jerseys that are a little too tight before, I just know what I'm looking at, right? Yeah. But that was a very that kind of thing always makes me laugh.
That's dangerous, man. That's dangerous to roll up into NOLA and on
preseason or otherwise
on the road and start launching rockets with folks in NOLA.
I mean, will say there were several Saints
you got to trust your hands a lot.
If I'm dude whose pants fell down, there were dudes around them at that point, all Saints fans that seemed like they were that guy's friend or, you know, whatever. Nobody hopped up.
They may have been stunned. I think my guy, Logan, might be that guy.
Yeah.
He's that guy. Look,
we know NOLA's a tough place.
He wasn't that guy yesterday.
Yeah. We know NOLA's a tough place. We know Jacksonville's a tough place. So at the end of the day, though, I you know, like you said, probably not a real winner there, but one dude's pants fell down, and it wasn't the guy from Jacksonville. So
no, our guy, or the Jags guy, he remained pantsed. He didn't get pantsed in that whole deal. Yeah,
but no, that's all I got.
Yeah, and it's just the preseason. And we got this.
No, don't let the Jags start winning games.
Oh gosh.
Don't let the Jags start winning games.
Rough. Well, all right, Ev. Always a lot of fun with you here on Ryer on YouTube. Again, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. If you'd give us a thumbs up, that would help us out. A like would be tremendous as well. Hit the notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. On to Miami, Ev.
Big week.
Got a joint practice down there. Ought to be nice and crisp.
Oh yeah,
in South Florida for that one. And then, of course, the preseason game. House of Horrors after that season opener last year down there. But
There's some PTSD. Maybe I don't know if you can really exercise your demons in a preseason game like that. But who knows? Maybe there's a few things we can see this upcoming weekend that, you know, are marked improvement from what we saw last year.
Yeah, I was there for that opener last year. I'm good about going back anytime soon.
Yeah,
I don't. Maybe just sit ETN. You know, just hold him out this week.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be there.
Just let him go. And that will be interesting, in all seriousness, based on the joint practice, how that impacts Trevor and some of the guys as you go into that
game.
This is
the week where you want to hear good things from practice way more than you want to hear it from, you know, the
damn Dolphins. It's like every week they're joint practicing. Seems like,
you know, Mike McDaniel wants the live rounds, the reps, you know,
live reps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes down there, and we will have reaction to that and everything Jags related. The next time we reconvene right here on Ryer on YouTube, it is No Sleep Teal. Evan Ryer right there. I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in live. The show will archive right there on the channel, on the homepage. So if you missed any or all of the show live, catch us right there. Until next time, so long, everybody. Y'all.